The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for joining us. We, of course, have thoughts on the Suns. We were with them this last week, their game yesterday in Dallas. John Wilner is going to be with us for a Monday Chop It Up with John Wilner. Huge week ahead of the Pac-12 conference with expansion. Is it finally winding down their television deal, and also the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas? Jordan Hamm will be there covering that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. In fact, today I am playing in the Desert Financial Golf Tournament with Kenny Dillingham. I'm going to be in a golf cart with Dilly today. I'm going to find out who can hit the ball further. He will. I will find out who's better at chipping. He is. I will find out who's better at putting. I might win on that one. I might. But I was asked to play in this tournament, and I asked Coach Dillingham if he'd like to be my guest. So 4 hours of chopping it up in a golf cart. We will do that today. It's good to be back. The road is fine. The road is fun, but it's great to be home. Was just a fabulous time and being around and seeing the whole Kevin Durant scene in Charlotte and Chicago. We came back before Dallas, watched the game yesterday, took it all in. And, you know, what can you say? The excitement level is way up here. This is no disrespect at all to Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson. But, you know, when you see what's going on with Kevin Durant, and some of you still may be in that space of that they should not have traded Mikal Bridges, and I get it. Again, I brought this up over and over and over, but if you're new to the show, it's like Jeff Hornacek when the Suns traded him to get Charles Barkley. You have to give up very good players. And Mikal Bridges is thriving in Brooklyn. Don't want anything bad to happen to Mikal Bridges. He's going to thrive. But when you watch Kevin Durant do his thing like yesterday, you know, yesterday and even Friday night in Chicago, I'll just go back to that game. It was an electric atmosphere in Chicago to have Kevin Durant on the floor, and the crowds around the baskets where he's doing his thing were huge. And there's just a different vibe now, a different expectation now about what the Suns should do and where they're going to go. You know, yesterday, Luka and Devin getting into it at the end of the game, it's theater, it's fun, it's entertainment, a little fire, a little smoke, a little smoke. There's people who rip on Luka, and I'm not one of those, not fanboying it here. It's like when people used to rip on the late, great Kobe Bryant. I loved it when Kobe would come to town. Loved it. Because it was getting after it. And so yesterday, Luka and Devin getting after one another late in the game, it looked like Devin was just pointing at, look, you fouled him here early. You did. And so Luka didn't like it, and he snapped. And if Devin said something to him, that happens in the heat of battle. Happens in the heat of battle. I hope to see Dallas in the playoffs. I would love to have a 7-game series lined up between these two teams. There's not really a team now that, like yesterday, Ayton was out for a lot of yesterday's minutes. Did not have a heavy minute game yesterday. And foul trouble, ineffective, whatever term you want to use, coming off the knee in Chicago, there's all that stuff that's out there. But I'm watching Kevin on the floor, and when Durant is out there and Ayton is not out there, it's a different look of a team. It just is. And I like that. You know, Lonsdale gave him some good minutes yesterday, gave him some good minutes the other night in Chicago. And I feel like, though, that as the bench shrinks, because it's going to shrink, bench is going to shrink. You know, Okoji was great on Friday night. Yesterday, he was not great, and I'm being kind. And so Monty goes a different direction, brings in some different players. Ish Wainwright comes in and does his thing in that game. There may be other games where it doesn't happen. Terrence Ross didn't do much yesterday. But trying to figure out those lineups and those combinations, like, we're pretty much beyond the minutes restriction questions now for Monty Williams, I would think. The next minutes questions for Monty are going to come next week. Suns have a couple of back-to-backs coming up in the next week. And they've got one a week from today. So they play at Golden State a week from today. I'm thinking about going. Then they're home to Milwaukee the next night. What do you do on that one? They have another back-to-back on Friday, March 24th. They play at Sacramento, And the next night, they're home to Philly. What do you do on that one? Back-to-backs are going to start to become something. Those two back-to-backs, how do they go about the use or lack of use? When you're trying to get in position for playoffs, you want to keep people in rhythm. You know, a year ago, Monty was not about load management. Are you going to be about load management with Kevin Durant? Is there any reason to be about load management? But that's coming. You know, they've got a few days here until they take on Oklahoma City. And just look at things and say, all right, where are we going with the makeup of the rest of the team when we have different lineups out on the floor? So I like where things are, obviously, when you're 3-0. But it's not been as choppy, I guess is the right word for it, as some people thought it would be. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be some choppy waters. It doesn't mean there aren't stretches. There were some stretches yesterday in the first half where it didn't look great. It didn't look clean. No team's going to look great and clean for a 48-minute period. But when you have players of this caliber and trying to have all the mouths be fed and having all the egos and all that stuff's going to play into it as we go through these next couple months. It's such a fascinating story. Not to say that it wasn't interesting, but this is Kevin bleeping Durant. So I'm glad I went on the road. I'm going to keep going on some of these trips. Not all of them. I'm going to go on some of them, and I'll take it all in. So there's that. The college scene, Arizona State, this is what they are. And U of A, I mean, U of A's lost, what is it now? Two of their last three down the stretch. Haven't looked great. Tommy Lloyd's got people saying he's winning with Sean Miller's players. So the Pac-12 tournaments this week, this is one of those deals where you pretty well better take care of business. Because I know this about U of A fans. They're pretty, they're not ones to take losing well. Because that's all there is in Tucson, is U of A basketball. Really, when you think about it. And as much as I like football program, I think football program's heading in the right direction. But let's just call it as it is. Facts are facts. Basketball team doesn't look great. Fans have nothing else to bitch about. There's no pro teams down there. It is a college town. That's it. End of statement. And so the Pac-12 tournament, perfect setting, I think, for a new deal for Commissioner Kliavkov to sit there and say, okay, this is what we're doing with expansion. This is what we are going to do in the way of our media rights deal. Be nice to have all that answered. I will tell you that between Kevin Durant and the media rights deal and the college scene in Pac-12, that's what people are reading on our site right now. We did a great job the other night, the high school finals, and people were checking that stuff out. And I don't go off of every day what the metric is, but those are the two things that people are really dialed in about right now, is in particular, what's going to happen to the Pac-12? And when I go speak, I'm going to speak today at this golf tournament. It's going to be CEOs, and I'm sure there's going to be some questions asked, maybe with Kenny. Maybe Kenny and I'll get there and do some stuff together, Coach Dillingham, but it is what's going to happen to the Pac-12. And there's a lot of BS that's out there. Oh, the whole league's going to collapse. The whole league's going to fall. It's just people with opinions. You know, opinions like, you know, body parts. Everybody's got one of them. So, you know, that's the way it goes. All right. There really isn't anything in the NFL that's of interest to me today. John Morant's got to get help. Anybody who thinks that that's okay, you're going to go on social and you're going to have a gun and, well, you know, you're going to get all about my gun and all that. No, this is what the league, this is what the boss, this is what the NBA is about. You know, beyond that, the combine finished up. It's fine. It's something to talk about, but there's not really much there. The Cardinals do have a high pick. We'll see. We'll see. The whole stuff last week, I had people sending me notes. You're not going to talk about the F-. No, that stuff's been going on over there for years. I'll go back to former players back in the day that were fined for not for asking for extra socks that had money taken out of their paycheck. Back in the day, every other light bulb was unscrewed in the locker room, according to many players. So, like, oh my gosh, the Cardinals got an F-. Like, that's not a surprise. All right, John Wilner is next. Wilner Hotline, one of the best in the business, and he joins us every week on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, John Wilner is with us. Wilner Hotline. You can find John's content on sports360az.com. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, and you can hear him on the Wilner Canzano podcast, even though John Canzano would disagree with me on that. So every week we like to give our guy the plug here. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. It's Pac-12 tournament week one. But two, this has got to be the week where the commissioner says, okay, here's the media deal. He's going to have everybody there. It's in Vegas. He needs to make a splash because, my gosh, John, everybody and their brother is guessing what is going to happen. And you've said it's going to be sometime this month. Are you still sticking to that? And do you agree with me? This week has got to be the week, John.
I agree with you that this week would be great. I am not sure it'll happen this week. They're trying to land three planes at once, right? They're trying to get a media deal. They're trying to get all the schools to sign the grant of rights agreement, which basically binds their media revenue to the conference. And they're trying to decide on expansion. I think it will happen in March. I don't know about this week. My guess is either the following week or the week after that. So we're talking about, you know, the first week of the NCAAs or the week of the Sweet 16, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But got to be done by the end of this month, in my opinion.
Okay, what is fact about this? What is fact, John? What are the facts that you know about this TV and the deal that it's going to go versus what is fiction? Because I'm tired of getting the, hey, Brad, what do you think? Well, let me ask John, and I'll ask a few people, but I'm not dialed in like John Wilner's dialed in. So what is fact, John?
Well, there's not a whole, well, I'll tell you, one fact is that there's only a handful of people who actually know what's going on, right? There's like, my guess is three or four conference executives, including their consultant. Maybe a few presidents know the details. I don't think all the presidents know the details. I don't think the athletic directors know the details.
Wow.
And then the folks on the other side of the table, right, from the networks that are negotiating on their behalf. Everybody else is just guessing. And most of the media reports are based on the people who are guessing, right? So that is the most important thing for people to remember. Also, I am very sure, I can't say it's fact 100%, but I'm pretty darn confident that ESPN, Amazon, and Apple all are interested in Pac-12 media rights. Now, will the conference end up with splitting it in three? That I don't know. I don't know how Amazon and Apple would feel about being partners, you know, because they're competitors. So my guess is it's going to be ESPN and either Amazon or Apple.
Okay. What are facts that haven't been announced from John Wilner's view? Brad, this is where expansion is going to land. This is where it's going to land. And it may be, you know, is it two teams? Is it four schools? Is it San Diego State and SMU? And then there's a couple of others. Is Gonzaga involved in this? Are Arizona State and Arizona bolting to the Big 12? All of that nonsense, John. It's nonsense. Or is it?
You know, bottom line is until the 10 presidents sign an agreement, you never know what could happen. And realignment is a screwy thing. I do not believe Gonzaga is going to be offered membership. I do not believe they are going to go to 14. My guess is that they will be 12. They will add two, but that's an inventory issue. If they decide that having two more teams and that many more games will get them that much more money, they'll add. Otherwise, they'll stay at 10. If they do add, San Diego State and SMU are the overwhelming favorites. So that's what, and that, and the fact that I believe it'll be over in the next, say, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's about all I can give you. Nobody knows, and I don't want to fill the void with speculation that may not be true.
Right. That's why you're John Wilner. I appreciate that. But you did say you don't believe Gonzaga is going to happen.
No.
Correct?
I do not. I don't know. So that's a two-part issue, right? Okay. It's how much money does Gonzaga bring? And even though it's a terrific program and would in some ways fill UCLA's place, right? It's still basketball. And basketball is basically 20 cents on the dollar in media revenue. Football is the other 80 cents. So I don't know that Gonzaga is going to bring enough that's going to basically convince the Washington schools to say yes. I mean, if Gonzaga enters the league, then the Huskies and Cougars are giving Gonzaga a Power 5 platform. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how that is advantageous to them if it's only a couple million bucks, right? And I don't even think it'll be a couple million bucks. I think adding Gonzaga is probably a million, maybe a million and a half, maybe not even that much.
Okay. The number that has to come down is the final number so that the commissioner is not sitting there having arrows shot at him from every president. Do they have to be on par with the Big 12 per school? If so, then that's got to be north of $30 million, correct?
Well, somewhere around 30.
Yeah,
okay. I kind of put the range at about 10% either way. The Big 12's deal is $31.7 million per school. I think anything in 10%, so 28.5 to 34, anywhere in there, I think is going to everybody's going to be fine with. It's not transformative money. It's not like USC and UCLA going to the Big 10 for like $30 million more per year. It is incremental revenue when you consider how much these schools spend on athletics, and also when you consider the travel costs that would go into play.
Right.
If you're going to Orlando, Florida, and Cincinnati, and Morgantown, and taking all of your Olympic sports into Texas and Iowa, there's added costs as well. And I just don't think it's going to be transformative money. So I don't think schools will leave. But again, you never know until they sign.
Okay, so John and I have been doing this for over a year now.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And we've been doing media rights for over a year. No, I don't know if it's been
pretty close.
Pretty close. And I'm not sick of it. I'm not with you. I'm sick of it, but I'm not sick of it talking to you about it, if you know what I mean.
No, I hear you. It's been a grind.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. What else do you need to add on this that you're feeling like, look, here's the people that are going to be, you said there's like five or within the office. You think there's up to five off the top. There's like five people. Who are those five? There's the commissioner. Okay. Who are the other four, John?
Okay. So guess is Deputy Commissioner Jamie Zimnanovich is involved in the negotiations. Former commissioner of the West Coast Conference. He has done TV deals before.
Okay.
My guess is their general counsel is involved.
Okay.
Their media advisor is a guy named Doug Perlman, who I think is based out of Vegas. And he went to the commissioner, George Kliakoff, has known him since college. And he's, he's sports media advisors. He's done a bunch of pro deals. He's certainly involved. And then, the conference, the board of directors, which is the 10 presidents, there are 12 presidents, USC and UCLA are not involved in these discussions. There is a three-person executive committee that kind of drives the agenda for the conference. It's the presidents of Washington, Washington State, and Stanford. It's done on a rotating basis. They weren't picked just for this. They are probably pretty aware of what the deals are, but I don't think it's that many more. I really don't. I don't know who else in the conference would be that close to it. And then you add, if it's Amazon, Apple, and ESPN, they each have a couple of people who are negotiating, and that's probably about it.
Okay. How is it they've been able to keep this quiet?
Well, that's the biggest thing. And that when I talk to people in the sports media industry, they're not connected to any particular conference. Yeah. They have no horse in the race. They all say it's amazing how quiet they have kept this, right?
Right.
However, with that silence comes a void. And that void has been filled with speculation, rumor, that the conference could collapse, that the Arizona schools in Utah and Colorado could leave for the Big 12, that there's nobody who is interested in their rights. So, when speculation and it's negative speculation fills the void, it kind of undermines your brand and it creates a little bit of instability. So the fact that this has taken so long and they have been so quiet has created an opportunity for all the rumor and innuendo.
What we would like to have, because I'm not going to be in Vegas. Jordan Hamm's going to be there for us. John is going to be in Vegas. What I would like to hear is there will be a meeting at like 1 o'clock in a ballroom. Show up. The commissioner shows up with the key players that John said. They hand it out on a sheet of paper. There's an overhead graphic. They say all sorts of nice things because they got to win the room in the world of media. This is the greatest thing ever. We couldn't believe this is possible. We're so excited. Even though we may look at it and say, wow, this is really not good. And there's a lot of trouble going on here. That's what we would like. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep it like that.
Typically the commissioner has a press conference at the football championship game and at the men's basketball tournament.
Yeah.
My guess is that unless they have big news to announce, they've got a deal. that he's not going to have a press conference, because I don't think he can get up there in front of reporters and cameras and say, I don't have anything to say. He just shouldn't get up there in the first place.
We're working on it. We're looking for the best deal possible. We have all the right people. We're blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Exactly. So my guess is, at this point, I don't have reason to think that they're going to have an announcement in the next 4 or 5 days.
All right. Well, hold on.
That could change. You never know.
I know. In terms of the tournament, well, first of all, when is UNLV going to be brought up in these discussions? Because everything is going to Vegas. Yeah. The Pac-12 football media day has now been moved to Vegas in July.
Yep.
The tournament is great up there. So why is UNLV not even a discussion point here, John? They're going into that town every day. They have the facilities up there. You would think there'd be some sort of expansion behind the scenes if we're bringing UNLV in there, even though I would look at UNLV and be like, really, UNLV? That's not going to help.
But, yeah, no, well, I don't think they think it's going to help. And I don't think UNLV as an institution kind of clears the bar for Pac-12 presidents, you know, academically. That's the biggest thing. And it's not a giant market. Vegas is a good market, a growing market, but it's not giant. It's not San Diego. It's not Dallas.
Right.
So I don't get the sense that UNLV is on the radar at all for expansion. And I don't think Boise State is either, for instance.
So Chip Kelly gets a contract extension.
Yep.
Now, that is a big part, in my view, of we have more money to work with now that we're UCLA and USC, and we're going into the Big Ten. And this is the trickle-down effect of why this is such an important topic and why John and I, and John in particular, is beating this horse into the ground over and over and over. Because if you don't get a good media deal, you're not going to be able to keep big-name coaches within your conference. So did you see a parallel with the Big Ten and Chip getting the extension, or am I just off base?
Well, I think there's two pieces to it. One is the contract he had this past season only had a couple more years. It was through to 2025. He was the shortest tenured coach in the Pac-12. Everybody else's deals are going to 27, 28. So in some ways, he had a good season. They needed to reward him. Now he is through the first few years of their existence in the Big Ten, right? So three years of Big Ten play his contract covers. The other thing is they have to benchmark their coaches now against Big Ten salaries.
That's right.
You know, that it, yeah, they can count on more money coming in, but they also are going to have to pay everybody Big Ten salaries. And Big Ten has got more money, so UCLA is going to have to spend more. They're moving up in neighborhoods. It doesn't get cheaper. You got to pay when you move up in a neighborhood. And the problem UCLA has is they're going into the Big Ten with, I don't know, $50, $60 million. It may not be quite that much, 45 in accumulated debt for their athletic department. So the money that they're going to reap those first few years in the Big Ten is going to be about paying down their debt. They also are going to have added travel costs. They're also going to have to benchmark salaries. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate the financial piece.
Okay, one other question on this, and I do have one thing on basketball, and that is this. If Deion, and we had this discussion the week Deion was hired, if it was going to impact the conference and salaries, and I think both of us were like, well, we'll see. Deion goes and wins this year at Colorado, and the numbers don't come in quite right on the Pac-12. He could be looking around like, you know, I want a Jackson State, I want a Colorado, I'm ready to go to the bigger conference, right? I mean, this TV deal does... In Deion, if I'm just talking Deion Sanders, this TV deal to him has got to sing a number, in my view.
Well, or it's got to be allow Colorado to, you know, give him a salary bump if he wins this year.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. A big bump.
Now, Colorado may be in position to do that or forced to do that, even if they don't get the number they want from the Pac-12 deal. They may have to find money elsewhere, donors, or moving funds around within athletics. But I mean, I don't look at Deion as a long-term. He's not long-term in Boulder, right? If he wins, the first SEC offer he gets, he's going to take. And he's from Florida. You know, he's from the South. He's lived in Texas. You know, he's going to go. If he wins, he's going to go.
John, this is a prove-it job for Deion Sanders?
I think so. I do. At a Power 5 level. I mean, it's different than Jackson State.
Yeah.
There were openings in the ACC and SEC and nobody hired him, right? That's, you know, that's something to keep in mind. So I think that if people see that he can win in the Pac-12 for a year or two, then he's gone.
All right. Basketball this week. So we know that UCLA, U of A, and we believe USC are in, right? You and I are lockstep on that?
Yeah, I think USC's probably in.
All right. And anybody else going to make it in, John? Or is it the winner of the Pac-12 tournament?
Well, if there's an upset, that team will get in, right? If you're talking about who else could get in that large bid, I don't know. ASU is really on the bubble, in my opinion. I think Oregon is on the wrong side of the bubble, and USC is on the right side of the bubble, and ASU is like smack on it, right? The win against Arizona certainly helped. Not winning a game in LA hurt. But it's also interesting, too. You think about, you know, a big part of ASU's case is that win in Tucson, which was a 60-foot Hail Mary, right?
If
that ball rattles out, right, is ASU in much worse shape? That tells you about the system itself, right? That you need a heave from beyond midcourt to be in this position. I think ASU has got a strong case, but I also think that if they don't, either certainly if they lose to Oregon State in the opening round, and then if they lose in the quarters to SC, I think it's going to be trouble. Depending on what else happens, if there's upsets in other tournaments, the at-large pool will shrink, and that will hurt ASU.
Yeah. This feels very much to me like ASU last year. They had to win against Stanford, and they played just one of the worst games in the history of mankind that I ever witnessed in front of family and friends, and they ended up being eliminated. And I've said that I think Bobby deserves an extension, you know, for what he's sitting through. I don't think they can go out and find anybody much better. They're not committed to basketball at ASU with the facility. That's very clear from the president's view or that office. I mean, so I just don't see it. I don't see it. That's just
who you going to get that's better. That's the big question, right?
No, that's it's always been the question, John.
Always.
It's always been the question with ASU. And that's why when Bobby came here, it's like, okay, I actually see this. And, but they have really put themselves into a corner. Have fun in Vegas. And
thank you.
When you get that nice little emergency meeting with the commissioner, enjoy yourself.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
See you later. This is John Wilner. We're back with more after this time out.